Our first guest has a voice that needs little introduction. I'm sure many of our loyal listeners have fond memories of tuning in to the whimsical tales of storyteller Rose Arrowsmith DeCoux. Her latest project, The Marvelous Imagination of Katie Adams, has just been published. Here to tell us a tale or two, Rose Arrowsmith DeCoux.
Thanks. Ooh, that's pretty slick.
Well, that's because I'm the big bopper. Rose, you are a gal of many talents.
Thank you.
I'm sure perhaps you heard all of our raving earlier.
Well, I don't know that I heard all of it, so you can feel free to reprise some of that.
Well, you're an actress, a singer, a writer, a storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
I've recently been informed you've studied mime.
Yeah, I got an Arrowhead Regional Arts Council grant a couple years ago to study from a friend of mine who's a really amazing mime. And I did discover that trying to become a mime in 26 hours of instruction is like trying to become a ballerina. So it was a great experience, and it is a lot of work to make it look that easy. But I love all kinds of pretend imaginary things. I think that's how the umbrella that goes over all of this.
How do you find the balance in all of your creative energy?
I realized a while ago that I think it works better for me if I have quite a few things going on, because it takes the pressure off. I'm the kind of person that sometimes my imagination can be used not for good, and I can foresee how big the project is. I just was actually having this conversation a couple days ago where I looked back at a manuscript and I thought, this is terrible. This is so terrible. I thought this was almost done. And so it's really nice to have something else to move on to let the other project sit for a little bit. And kind of, my friend calls it crock potting. You just put it in the crock pot for a while.
Yeah, let it simmer.
Mm-hmm.
Marinate. Is it a bit of a multitasking challenge, though, to keep all the different stories straight and to keep the different skills? I mean, certainly a singer and an actress is the same, but a writer versus an actress, is it a switch?
It's more like, am I needing a lot of extrovert time or a lot of introvert time?
Sure.
And something that I've also noticed with having a few projects is that as I was working on this other manuscript that I'm editing, I was having all sorts of fun asking all these questions about, well, what does this mean? And what does this mean? And how do these connect? And then it got a little too big. And I started to think, I just really need some instant gratification. And so it's nice to have the mix of theater once in a while, because then, you know, you do it, you're right there in front of people, as opposed to sitting in my converted garden shed in the backyard, just me and my cat who's ignoring me. You know, and I love that. I would get burned out if I was performing all the time, but I really like both. And I think especially since I worked for so many years as a storyteller, as a performer, that kind of, you know, you like, I've learned the, not the formula, but sort of the pattern that we expect in a story. So I think that kind of helps. And a lot of the stories I'm interested in, the same kind of themes might show up in a book, like storytelling stories and written stories. I always like stuff with doorways into other worlds and kind of magical qualities. So I don't know. My brain is maybe just a collage. And so you have to stand back to get the effect.
But it's always a bright and happy collage.
Oh, no. Were you not listening when I was telling you about... I used much stronger language when I looked back at this old manuscript.
Oh.
And I was going to mail it to my writing friend to look over it, thinking, oh, she's... You know, this is like the first book I ever wrote when I was maybe 19 or 20 or something. And I just thought, I should really resurrect that. I bet it just needs a few tweaks. She's going to look it over and tell me it's amazing. And then I started flipping through it and I was like, oh, I can't show this to anybody. This is obviously my practice book. I can never reveal this to the world.
Yes.
So,
well, we were all young once. So The Marvelous Imagination of Katie Adams, we've heard many segments of it. Have we heard them all?
Well, you could have heard them all, and they are all archived on WTIP.org. So, yeah, it ran February of last year through August, I think, on Saturday mornings.
Oh, yeah. It was a regular feature. How long did it take you to put that story together?
Well, that's also kind of interesting, because this was one of the very first books that I started, and I started writing it in 2005 when I was in between places I was living. So I was spending 6 weeks living in my dad's basement, and it's very glamorous, the unfinished basement in Woodbury. And I don't even remember now how this idea for the book came to me, but I sort of knew I gotta write like a writer, so that means I need to get up early. And I can just remember how horrible it was to get up early, and I would sit down looking out the patio door onto the kind of drainage pond. Sounds a little bit harsh, but you know, it was like there was a pond in the middle of all these, you know, townhomes for a reason, and sort of watch the sun coming up and type and just feel really very insecure. I'm not sure where that question was. Oh, you wanted to know how long. Yeah, so I wrote about half of it, and then I just kind of I couldn't write any more of it, and I went back to it, I think, in 2013. So it was like an 8-year break, and I was so relieved that I hadn't just dumped this. But it's, you know, there's the story is really about Katie Adams and her dad. Her parents have been divorced for about a year, and her dad travels a lot, and they don't have much of a relationship, and she really escapes with her imagination. And, you know, my parents are divorced, and my dad traveled a lot, and I have an active imagination. So there were some things that were really, you know, drawn from my life, and I realized when I wrote the other half of it that, oh, I just, like, I wasn't old enough. I didn't know the things that needed to be said by some of these characters to finish the story. So all of you writers out there who have a half-finished project sitting in a shelf, you can make it. It can come back. But I would say, you know, now I could do a first draft for this book in, like, I wrote a similar length manuscript a couple summers ago, and that was like a couple of months. I would write for an hour 3 or 4 afternoons a week when my son was taking a nap. And so it kind of depends on the project. But I've been like in the production stage of it for a couple years. There's some procrastination and a big learning curve.
And the production, does that include the publishing? When did the idea to publish it come to you? And you know, what was that process like? Is this your first book published?
Yeah. Well, you know, I've always wanted to publish things. I've always loved writing and had big plans for when I was 20, I would have published 2 books of poetry or something. But I was also in the closet as a writer for a pretty long time. And I have a friend who has written a couple books, tracking guidebooks or a guide to the constellations. And so we've talked back and forth on writing projects, and he just, I think, was the one who kept suggesting, well, you should really look into indie publishing. You should think about self-publishing. And I used to think of that as like glamour shots. You know, not everybody has them, but the people who do, you look at it, you're never going to use that picture for anything. That's the picture that when you're on the, like, the Late Late Show, that's the one they're going to show when you're famous to make you really embarrassed. So, you know, I'd always, it just seemed, you could always tell, you could look at a self-published book and it was too shiny and the cover was kind of pixelated. So it took me a while to get, won over and converted on self-publishing. But now the print-on-demand is really high quality. There's a lot of good options. And you, instead of getting like 10 or 20% of the sales, you get, you know, all of it minus the cost, or, you know, more like maybe 80 or 75%. Yeah, I think that I started working on that maybe it was a year and a half ago. Another friend had worked at a small publisher, and he said, I'll help you with the layout. help you get stuff uploaded. And then we've just kind of slowly been chugging along with that and putting things off and going back to it. And I got the print book on Monday. It was really exciting.
Yes.
It's very, I can imagine. Very different, because I'd already sold some ebooks and some audiobooks, but it's really different to can walk up and stick an actual book in somebody's face. I'm like a grandparent showing off pictures of the grandbabies. There's no shame anymore. It's the Minnesotan in me has somehow disappeared. mostly.
You've come out of the closet. Well, and you had some fancy little e-card. Too, right?
Yeah, there's a site called Drop Cards, and I've seen musicians that do this, so you can sell a digital download. So if you want to buy an ebook or an audiobook for yourself or for someone and have a thing to give to them, it's got a unique code on the back, and you just go to the website and type in the code, and there you go. Then you download it on your computer.
Wow, so technology's not all bad.
No, it's not. And Google can tell you, as my son said, Google can get you anything, which is almost true. There are some really good resources
out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if you're just joining us, we're on the Roadhouse with Rose Arrowsmith DeCoux. She's talking about her new book, The Marvelous Imagination of Katie Adams. She's just self-published. It showed up in a box on her doorstep, and it's magical and available. I'm sure folks can find it online. Is it?
Yep. Yeah.
You as far could, as promoting, and I was going to get to the like agent part of things. Mm-hmm. Are you your own agent?
I guess so. But you know, after like 12 years of working as a storyteller, maybe I'm not brilliant at it, but I think I've learned enough that there's a volunteer out there who really wants to be my agent.
Well, I've got an excellent agent. We'll talk after the show.
All right.
Yeah, but so we'll add this to your resume then. Agent, publicist, PR.
Yeah.
Are you taking it on the tour? Are you going to New York?
Well, I don't know if I'll go to New York, but there's a great independent bookstore in Cambridge, which is near where I grew up, Majors and Quinn, and my mom shops there all the time, so I guess I've got an invitation that I could go give a little reading there. I'll be touring Grand Marais actually in the next month or two. Kari, Vic, and I are doing the Fireside Chat at Sievertson's on Saturday, February 13th, and it's about the art of story. So we'll also be talking then about a book that we've done together, which is not yet published, but a picture book. And I'm going to do a reading at the library on Saturday, March 12th as well.
Nice.
But in the meantime, I did just talk with Jill Terrell over at Joy & Company. So on Friday, they should have some of these books available there. If you don't know me well enough to come knock at my door and get one directly from me.
Well, I'm sure you've got a lot of friends. Now, what's it like having a famous voice in a small town?
I think it's great. It was really funny when I was first doing the Saturday morning story. I would meet people once in a while, because then I lived up the Gunflint Trail, so I didn't know most of the townies. And they would sort of, they'd have this look on their face, and I said, you kind of thought that I was middle-aged and long hair and
taller.
Maybe taller with a tie-dyed dress. And they're like, well, kind of. I said, there's a lot of storytellers that look like that. And I do kind of stand out in the storytelling crowd. But, you know, especially now that my husband, Jay, is the mayor, I'm really glad I've established myself a bit, because now it's back to people saying, oh, you're Jay's wife. But there was a pretty long time where people would say, oh, you're Rose's husband to Jay.
Yes.
So,
see, I wasn't even going to bring him up.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about him again.
This is your spot. Do you teach? I thought I saw you doing a writer's something at the Art Colony, was it?
Yeah, I don't have anything coming up at the Art Colony, but I did. Yes, I do teach, and I maybe we'll get something going with higher ed. I chatted with Kelsey at one point. Mm-hmm. I have organized the Grand Marais Writers Guild. We just had our first meeting last month, and we're going to get together Monday, the 22nd at 6 at the co-op. So that's not me being a teacher. We're just, it's anybody who writes, come and hang out so that you're not just sitting in a room by yourself with your cat. You can actually see other writers.
That sounds fun. Let's see. You know, would you mind maybe reading a little blurb from the book? Just something to, you know, wet our whistle and pique our interest?
Sure. That's such a good request. And of all the things I was thinking you might ask me, that never occurred to me.
Well, I saw that when you're not got a page marked. So I'll keep talking while you look for something. Let's see. You had touched on the fact that you're working on something new.
Yeah. You know, the great thing is that I finally have a couple of projects that have been either sitting for a couple years. There's a little bit of momentum. So I find that I need to let stuff sit for a while before I can go back and do an edit. But yeah, the book I'm working on right now is also a middle grade book. For those of you who don't know, like me, I didn't know until recently that there's a genre called middle grade. It's like young adult, but a bit younger.
Yeah. Wasn't the Twilight series in that?
I don't know.
That's my own inside joke.
It could have been. Yeah. I imagine there's a lot of your own inside jokes on this show.
It's the Roadhouse.
Yeah.
All right. How about an excerpt from The Marvelous Imagination of Katie Adams?
Sure. And you can hear me see if I can resurrect my British accent for Uncle Edmund. This is right in the first couple of pages of the book that... one of the things that fuels Katie's wild imagination is that her Uncle Edmund and Aunt Josephine are adventurers, and they send her airmail letters from everywhere they are in the world. So she's just finished the first day or the last day of fifth grade and found a letter, and then she's gone up to sit in the hayloft of the barn with her cat and is reading this letter. 23rd May, Rabat, Morocco. Dear Katie, my grandest congratulations and deepest apologies to our only and favorite niece, the first on finishing the fifth grade and being even more brilliant than ever, and the second for the very long wait you have had in between letters. We will try to catch you up and do hope that you will forgive us. Auntie Jo and I, as you may recall, had just begun our balloon race around the marvelous continent of Africa when last we wrote. It was quite a spectacle to see all those hot air balloons soaring above the Nile at the starting line. We made good time along the Gulf of Arabia and were soon around the Somalian coast. The rainy season had ended, and we followed the wildebeest's migration to their breeding grounds in Tanzania. It was quite entertaining to watch these unusual creatures travel. Their bodies are large, and their legs look to be much too skinny to support them, but they are very speedy runners. They can go as fast as 50 miles per hour. The wind was in our favor as we floated above jungles, savanna, and acres of dusty ochre soil. We passed Mozambique and rounded Cape Horn in South Africa and still held the lead. But as we began to sail our balloon up the western coast, a Frenchman passed us. Josephine and I were shocked. We gave it our best, but he lost us over Angola, and Auntie Jo and I resigned ourselves to finishing second in the race. However, our predictions did not include unusual encounters, as you know we often have. It happened after we reached Cameroon.
Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun.
Cliffhanger. I love mm-hmm. it. Oh, lovely. Lovely. Thank you. Thank you, Rose. When's the first chance we can see you as a mime?
You know, I think that chance may have already happened. It was a couple summers ago I did a mime.
Oh, when's the next chance?
A roaming gig. No. You know, it's kind of like being a stand-up comedian. It makes me feel afraid. I'm fine with theater, I'm fine with improv, but when it has such a label, like be funny, or I don't know, to me, being a mime is, there's no doubt you've got the white face on and the, you know, the white gloves, so yeah. it might happen again.
But not on the radio.
Well, yeah, actually I'm doing it right now again. Did you just see how I pulled that tug of war rope?
Yes. I'm sure they did at home. Is this like a dying art, miming? Is it like accordion playing?
You've never been to a Scandinavian music festival, have you?
Obviously not. I'm so intrigued, though. You're going to have to do it someday.
Yeah. It was pretty cool. You know what I could do is I could get my friend David, who trained with Marcel Marceau, among others, to come up and do something here, or Brian Sostek, who's a great, it's not really mime, but he just does amazing theater where he can be 8 different characters and they all look and move totally differently. So I'd like to get them to come up. How about that? I'll toot their horns and
we'll
I'll stick
them
to
on the show.
I'll stick to the writing.
That sounds great, Rose. So how can folks find your book? Let us know the address.
Sure. The website is marvelous-imagination.com. And you can watch a little, you can watch a, like a movie trailer for the book. You can read the first couple of chapters. It's got a link to the archives here at WTIP. So, of course, I would love if you buy my audiobook. But you can also, if you're willing to click through chapter by chapter, you can listen on WTIP. And come out to the Fireside Chat at Sievertson's on the 13th and look for me at the library on March 12th.
Sounds great, Rose. Thanks for joining us on the Roadhouse.
Thanks very much.